Hey friends, before we get started on today's Talk It Out episode, we have some super exciting news to tell you about. We are going to do our second Love Life Girls Night In with Joyce, and we are excited.
We are, and we need you to be with us because it's such a fun evening. And we are going to have some other special guests, Lisa Harper, who is so great, and then CeCe Winans, some wonderful music to share, so much better than what I just did. We're also doing a live Talk It Out podcast, and it won't be the same without you.
Yes, we want you to register today, so go online and register today. And guess what? We have someone special on today's show, so you're going to want to check it out.
Hi, everyone. You are just in time. Come on in, because this is Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast, where Joyce teaches the Word of God in her practical, no-nonsense way. And my friends and I talk about the real stuff of living it, and we don't hold anything back. I'm Ginger Stocky with Jay and Aaron Cluley, three friends who are all in very different places in life, but we understand the importance of having honest, loving women around you. And when we need a little help, Miss Joyce is here, just like she is today, to answer our questions for you. So consider yourself one of us. Come on in here and let's talk it out. Joyce, yes. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yes. I got to come and see what you guys think of my teaching.
Oh, well, I've got a list of notes for you here.
You said you listened to it and then you discussed it. So.
Well, Joyce has a new book that's coming out today, actually, as we're doing this. That's and funny. It's called How to Age Without Getting Old. This is good stuff. And you might think by the title that this is for people who are a little bit more advanced in years, but it's not. This book is talking about aging well and doing now what matters later. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, you just said this is a book for your age group too, right? For everybody.
It's so good because as I was reading it, I relate to you and your work ethic and drive to get stuff done. Right. And so I can see if I don't pay attention now, I can very well end up in a not the place I want to be. So, it's so good.
Yeah. That's one of the main things I want to get across to people is that it's not just for somebody that's 70 or 65 or who's retired, but if I would have had this book and would have paid attention to it when I was, let's say, 40, I could have skipped over a lot of physical trauma that I went through because I didn't have anybody teaching me or telling me. I mean, the whole thing was do as much as you can, you know.
Yeah.
And I would talk to other ministers. I haven't had a day of vacation in 12 years, and I think that was really spiritual.
Yeah. Right,
Now I realize, you know, that was just dumb.
Well, let's talk to our 20-year-old friends. I remember what I was like in college, and, you know, just that pace and that running. Our 30-year-old friends who are raising their kids and can't keep up with everything. So that we're going to talk also about just taking your life back. Giving God the opportunity to do what he needs to do in our life instead of our life taking over us. And when that happens, our years will be better throughout.
I would say most people today let their lives run them.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
A lot of, you know, like demands and everybody wants something and you think you got to keep everybody happy and you know, there's expectations from everywhere, and you know it takes a lot of courage to really follow what you believe is the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
It does,
and be able to say no when you really feel like that you need to say no. Now I know we're all at different ages, so I hope you're okay with this on air. But how old are you, Aaron?
I believe I'm 34.
You believe you are?
Yeah. Sometimes I can't remember if I'm 34 or 35, but I'm pretty sure I'm 34. Today we'll say
today,
you're 34.
I'm 34.
And Jay, how about you?
I am happily 39, and I'm so excited about turning 40 this year.
What about you, Ginger?
Really, I'm 57.
Okay, and I am 77. Ginger, have you felt changes in your body, say, in the last decade?
Ugh.
So no?
How much time do we have? Yes.
Well, I think we need to talk about that.
That's absolutely good. Nothing's in the same place that it used to be. In honor of this topic today, I wore a one-piece suit just to prove that I can still handle it, because we've talked about the fact that
that as you age, that your body's just different, and it takes a while to get a jumpsuit off. And so when you think that there's a possibility that you're going to have to take a potty break, I have to plan a good half hour out when I'm wearing a get-up like this.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. So many things that change physically in your life.
Yeah, and change, also the way we look changes.
Yeah.
But also, what about energy levels? Mm-hmm. And I know you've shared with me that, like, when you go on foreign mission trips now, that's different for you. Mm-hmm. What'd you say? The heat bothers you more. And tell us about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when we're on these trips in other countries, we have a short amount of time and a lot of things to do, you know, a lot of people that we want to get to and help. So we're just running, and we try to get as much done as we can. So quite often we're just eating beef jerky out of our bags, things like that. And I would thrive on that. I love that. Be long days, it's usually very hot where we go, not always. And I've never done well with the heat. Mm-hmm. So now, as I've been getting older, I can tell a big difference. And I hate to even say this because I don't like to admit it. You know, we all want to say,
well,
no, I'm good.
Problem. I didn't, you know, I wanted to be, I think from being abused as a child and my mother not being strong enough to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I grew up really just, I didn't hate her, but I hated weakness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really disrespected weak people. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, come on. You know, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't give me the, I can't do that. That's too hard. I've learned different now that we all have different abilities, and you need to respect, you know, where people are at. But I was like that. It was like, you weren't going to hear me say I couldn't do something.
Right. Yeah.
And so I would push myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I'm wanting people to really understand is that, okay, only a fool thinks they can always do what they've always done.
Yeah.
And so what you could do when you were 30, and maybe even 40, now you're starting to feel it. So that is your body. It's really wisdom telling you you have to make a change now.
Yeah.
And
I don't like it.
No, well, you don't like it. But the thing is, too, is when we need to change, other people don't like it.
Yeah, oh, that's true. That's a really good point.
See, when I got to the point where I felt like I was needing to make some changes here, and I mean, I think you can verify this, everybody thought, well, you know, no, you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be as good if you don't do it. It's, mm-hmm. You know, that's not going to be as good. This isn't going to be as good. And so I really felt like I was in a trap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, am I ever going to get to rest, or am I always going to have to do everything? And we found out that it's not about us. It's about where God puts his grace and where God puts his anointing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so God doesn't want you to kill yourself. And so, like these trips, you'll either stay gone more days so you can have rest, or you'll take somebody with you that can do part of it, or eventually we may have to send somebody else. You know, you can't, you just cannot. And I think the younger that people are when they get that through their head,
yeah,
the easier it's going to be to make those changes.
Mm-hmm. I feel as a youngish person that the weight is on me, that if I don't do it, this won't happen at all. And I am not the end of the world here. I'm not the end all be all of whatever this thing is. I bet God could probably fill in that gap. But in my mind, if I don't do it, then nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah. And I feel the same way. And I remember when I first got married, at 20, and I had my daughter.
Uh-huh.
I remember my body changing, right? Like, and I was proudly 5'1" and a cheerleader. I was just, that was who I was all through college, mm-hmm. even. And then after I had my daughter and the C-section, then my whole body just like, and that's what triggered, honestly, my first bout of depression, mm-hmm. you know? And then I remember just going through that, not being happy that my body wasn't the same, and really didn't do anything about it because I was just grieving who I was. And then I remember in my earlier 30s, I ended up having a hysterectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And that hysterectomy triggered me into like premenopausal.
That's fun.
Yeah, like symptoms. And so then all of a sudden my hormones are out of whack. My my body, like, you know, mm-hmm. sweating and cold and not hungry.
Tell me about it, girl.
It was just a lot of things. And so, when I was reading the book, and I was just super grateful for, you know, for you sharing all of your wins and things that you've learned, you know, because you say all this statement of, if I could tell my younger self, you know, what I know now. And that's honestly what I believe this book is. It's you telling our younger selves what to do and not to do and how to process. I feel like I wasted a lot of time grieving who I was versus saying, who can I be right now and not having to do it all right
and
now.
You know, when you have to make a change, that's not a bad thing. Mm. It's wise to make that change.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, our bodies are the home of God. They're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's really disrespectful to God, if you want to look at it just from a spiritual standpoint. It's really disrespectful to God to just run yourself into the ground to where, you know, you just are pushing yourself all the time.
That's quite a statement, because we think we're doing it
for God. Yeah. But you got to remember, Aphrodite's in the Bible. I mean, he got sick from working too hard in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so even though, and that was me, well, I'm doing it for God. Mm-hmm. But you're not really, not if you're disobeying him in the process. And people always want to know, well, how can I hear from God? How can I hear from God? Well, listening to your own body is one of the ways that you can hear from God. Huh. Because we always think, you know, well, I'll be the one that'll get by with it. I know I probably shouldn't, but I'll be the one that will get by with it.
I used to be the type that was like, oh man, I just got to keep going, got to keep moving, got to keep, it's for Jesus, the people need Jesus, and as if I was the only one that could give them Jesus, you know, like, I'm the only one that could bring the presence of Jesus. No, that's not true. So dispelling that and giving myself the time to say, I need to rest, I need to heal, I need to like get poured into for a while versus just continue, because I've always done that. So,
and to be honest, and I'll put it on myself, a lot of it's our own pride.
Yeah. Oh, amen.
That's really 100%. True.
Yeah. It's like, nobody can do it as good as I can. if I don't do this, it's not going to get done. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I can't, because then I'm going to look weak.
Because I can do whatever I need to do.
Yeah, I can do what. And you know, we can, that scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Uh-huh. We can't take that out of balance. Mm-hmm. We can only do through Christ what he gives us to do.
Yeah, right. That's
good. Not just anything we want to do, but what he wants us to do.
Yeah. I love in your book when you talked about some of how you've learned this recently, when the doctor told you to rest and you said, what do I do while I'm resting?
That was the first thing I said.
I had that thought too.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He told me he wanted me to rest 18 months and I thought the man had lost his mind. I'm like, 18 months?
Yes.
What does one do while they rest for 18 months?
Yeah.
And I was like, it was almost like frightening to me to think.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because there were things that you began to deal with physically that that were significant, and you had to make some big changes. So it really came as a surprise, and yet it also came from a long time of pushing very hard. I mean, you've accomplished amazing things, and you've been running and serving the Lord for a long, long time, and how do you explain it? Finally, your body was just kind of at a point where it was going to make you rest?
Well, yeah. And I mean, if you think about my life, okay, the first 15 years of my life, are the from age 3 to about 18, I was abused sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And yes, God heals us from that, but it still does take a toll on you.
Sure.
And so already by the time I was 18, I was having colitis and colon problems and, you know, issues like that. And then I remember, even in my 20s, going to the doctor, trying to tell them how I felt, and they'd always tell me it was stress, and that would just make me so mad because my mother had had a nervous breakdown, so I thought that stress meant you couldn't handle your life. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to tell me that I couldn't handle life. And I thought, you are giving me stress. I don't have stress. You are giving me stress, telling me that I have stress. And I didn't want to hear any other diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then I had hysterectomy when I was in my real early 40s because I was bleeding all the time. And that was fine. I was taking hormones. All was well. Control the hot flashes, the, you know, feeling like going crazy thing. Then I had breast cancer, and it was a estrogen-dependent tumor. And so then I couldn't take any hormones. Oh, and I thought that was going to kill me because I was working so hard. I mean, I didn't go on TV till I was 50. I didn't start the ministry till I was 42. So, I mean, I didn't go on TV till I was 50. And, you know, it's hard work to travel. And I would do all these conferences, and I would do everything in the conference. I mean, there was a time when I was doing 36 conferences a year. And, I mean, there were like five sessions, some of them, and I would take every speaking engagement I could take. I mean, when I look back, I just think, you know, that was just really stupid. But I was strong. God did make me strong, and he did want me doing most of what I did. The thing is, it doesn't take a lot of tweaking your life. It's not like you got to stop everything you're doing. It doesn't take a lot of tweaking to get to where God wants you to be. He's not asking you not to be fruitful and not to do anything. He's just asking you to take those times to recover.
What would you say now, looking back, what would you tell yourself then, now that you know what you know now? What would you do differently? Because what's interesting to me is you were building something, and so there is so much hard work that goes into it, and you started from nothing to what God has done. So there's a lot of work, but how do you balance that? Like, what would you do differently?
I think the things that I would do differently is I would really look at what I was doing that was bearing fruit.
Yeah, that's good.
And what I was doing that I was just doing.
Yeah.
That really wasn't bearing any fruit.
Yeah.
And that's really what I tried. And then eventually I even had to get to the point where I had to look at, okay, what was bearing fruit for our ministry?
Yep.
Not, I'm,
sure.
You know, everybody wants a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to be the kind of person that won't do a favor for somebody. Everything that I do doesn't have to have a monetary value for me. I mean, there's many times when I go and speak and tell people I don't even want an offering. That's a way that I can give.
Yeah.
But I finally learned that if I'm constantly doing favors for other people, then that's bearing fruit for them. But then I still have everything that I have to do to make this work. And so I really would have said no to more things a lot sooner than what I did. But I really just didn't want to say no to anything.
I think there's such a mentality in our culture to push till you can push no more, and you just fight, and you grind, and you do everything you can, because especially as women, we're strong and capable and independent, and we can do anything we need to. Yes, but also there's a price to pay if you do all of that.
Well, when I started the ministry, I had a baby and three teenagers.
I just don't even know how you
a
did it.
A baby and three teenagers.
Wow.
Let me say
it
again.
One
a
teenager
baby.
And I'm Jesus.
A baby and three teenagers. And
so you didn't sleep either.
Well, you know, actually, I did sleep decently, but I probably slept only 6 hours a night. Yeah. But I mean, I never quit. I mean, I worked from the time I opened my eyes in the morning until 10, 11 o'clock at night, and it was nonstop all the time. And then I would do dumb stuff like come back from a conference and go to the shopping mall and shop the rest of the day and then go out the next day and shop. You know, I didn't know how to be still. I wanted to be doing something all the time. And, you know, when I got real sick, December of 2017, I can say it was a surprise, but really, if I look back, and if I'm honest, I had been having different things that I was ignoring. So I just wonder, you know, like talking to our audience, what kind of things are you ignoring that your body is trying to tell you?
That's a great question.
Because we do ignore things. It's like, I don't want to go to the doctor. You know, some people are like, I don't like doctors. I'm not going to the doctor.
Yeah.
Well, you know, good for you, but your body is trying to tell you something.
Absolutely.
And your body told you under no uncertain terms, right? I mean, you just had to make major changes. So for that young mom who's watching right now, right? She's building a family. Maybe she's working. Maybe she's trying to serve others along the way. How does she balance that aspect of, I want to do what God wants me to do and not just everything that comes down the pike? How does she kind of take her life back?
Well, different people have different means of being able to do things. But let's just say that you're a mom and you can afford it. How about getting a babysitter once a week for you, even if it's for you to go have 4 hours
That's good.
By yourself to just relax, to do something you like, to get a pedicure, get a massage, take a walk, sit in the park, just be quiet. And to also realize that
I can just hear everyone at home.
Yes. Yeah. Joyce, it over and over.
Yeah. Honey, come listen to this.
What Joyce just said.
I'm out of here.
And, you know, there may be people that can't afford that, but maybe you know another mom that you could trade with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, ooh, that's great.
That's good.
You know, maybe, you know, I'll do this for you this week if you'll do this for me. There's one of the things I've found out is if you want to do something bad enough, you will find a way. Mm-hmm. To do it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we use that as an excuse. And I know that from working out. I mean, for years I just said, there's no way I can work out. I mean, Dave kept trying to get me to work out regularly, you know, with weights. And I was just like, I can't, I don't have any time for that. And so then I would decide to try. And me, I'm going to get in shape in 2 days. And so I'm doing way too much and I hurt myself. And then I say, see, I can't do this. Every time I try, I hurt myself. And then finally, I looked at myself, like you said, one day, and everything that used to be up here was down here somewhere. And I just, God just had to speak to me. And he said, you're not going to be around for the last 30 of your journey if you don't do this. And so people have to get some kind of exercise. They have to rest. They have to sleep. They need to drink water, not some sugary drink all the time. I'm not saying you can't eat sugar, but you can't live on candy bars and potato chips. And, you know, there are changes that people need to make.
Right.
But I thought there was no way that I could work out. And now for 16 years, I've been working out 3 days a week. So let me just say again, if you really want to do something bad enough, you can find a way to do it.
So that means you started working out when you were in your 60s.
62.
So that's so encouraging. Exactly. Yeah, we can start it at any time, and it will make a difference.
Yeah.
Can we talk about stress a little bit?
Sure, yeah.
Because there's just so much that people are dealing with. And Jay, I think about all that you've shared that you've been through, and so many of our friends who have connected with what you're saying, who are going through really stressful times in their families.
Who hasn't been through
exactly
stress?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you've learned through different stressful times that you've been through that help you handle stress better?
Well, getting angry about things that you can't do anything about is really a huge waste of time. And what is this, that like 1 hour of anger is equivalent to 8 hours of work. Like, it may be easy to get upset, but once you get upset, it's much harder to calm down.
It is.
Yeah.
So true.
And so I have discovered for me that if I can do something about it when I first start feeling that I'm getting angry or upset, if I can put a stop to it early, it's much easier for me to do it before I let it take roots and get real deep. So not trying to change people who don't want to change and aren't going to change.
That's really true.
That's really good.
That puts a lot of stress on us.
And accepting people the way they are, and I know some people are thinking, my husband this, my husband that, there's no way I can accept him the way that he is. And I'm not talking about accepting sinful behavior. I'm not talking, that's not what I'm talking about. But like, Dave has certain things that, you know, he's just not, like, I told him one time, I said, we never talk about anything deep. It's always the weather and this and that and something else. He said, look, this is as deep as I get. Take it or leave it.
This is what you got.
You know, like I'm the type, I'd like to just sit here all day and just discuss all my feelings and my emotions, you know. And yes, he's not, you know, his answer to everything is cast your care. Well, I didn't want to cast my care. I wanted him to feel sorry for me. And he didn't even tell me, you just want me to feel sorry for you, and I'm not going to. And then I would just go, and so we're so peaceful now, Dave and I. We've been married 54 years. But I had to learn that this is it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I can't, and he accepts me the way I am, which is not always great. And so we really should accept people the way they are. There's nothing worse than feeling like that somebody never approves of you.
Yeah.
And you constantly have to be trying to change yourself to make them happy. And God can do more in a second than we can do in 20 years. So you save yourself so much stress if you pray about things instead of trying to make it happen yourself.
Yeah. Aaron and I were just talking about that anger thing and really how it does change the stress level so quickly.
Yeah.
You just kind of feel it coming up sometimes.
Yeah. It's like all encompassing of my body, and I'm not used to that.
Right.
So you can feel that stress.
Yesterday, something had happened, and I passed the test, barely. I thought of you guys and Jesus.
You didn't want to have to tell it today.
I didn't want to have to confess a sin, but I thought about it. But something happened where, you know, somebody sent me something and it triggered me. Uh-huh. And it took me back to when I wasn't here, you know.
To your old self.
To my old self, where I was like, you know, and I'm like, okay. Like, I would love to hear from you, like, when you see, help me, okay? Because I'm like, I don't know how many more of those situations I believe I can make it, but I barely made it. Like, seriously, no joke. I'm just being completely honest. Like, I got the text. I said, oh, I really? And I had a whole nice paragraph, and I deleted it, and I said,
good
no,
for you.
Oh, we are so proud of you.
Thank you.
Because I yesterday got a text and didn't like it, and I pushed send on that text.
You did.
So I did.
So, okay. Oh. Well,
yeah. So I confess.
So I would love to hear from you on how, when you get those things that are like, if it's a lie or if
you
it's.
You guys all want to hear from me. What makes you think I do it all?
Because you're the one, you know how. I want to age gracefully.
That living is harder than writing a book.
Help me!
All right, what do you want me to help you with? I'm going
to
help you.
To not barely make it, because I almost didn't.
Okay, well, here's one thing. First of all, you need to celebrate the fact that even though you barely made it, you did make
yes!
it.
Yes, that's good. Praise the Lord!
Yeah.
See, we always, the devil wants us to always look at the part we didn't do.
Yeah.
Well, like, I shouldn't have got angry. Okay, but I got over it a lot faster than what I would have. I shouldn't have said that, but at least now I know I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of years where I just went, I didn't even know that I, you know, that I
I'm still there.
Shouldn't do it. And you're still there.
Working on it.
And you learn, you'd probably learn more from your mistakes than you do anything else. And we're not ever going to be perfect. You know, I mean, I teach people not to worry, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I never have a day where I worry, because I still fall into that trap too. It's a lot less often, and I can get over it a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And I do really believe that people, they really hurt themselves by not celebrating their progress and only looking at the fact that they didn't do it perfect.
Yeah.
And yes, you may have to keep taking the test until you pass it a lot sooner. But the good thing about God is he'll never allow you to go through anything that's not going to end up working for your good if you let it.
Yeah, that's great.
So hypothetically speaking, I'm not talking about myself or anything. I'm asking for my friend Jay.
Yeah, help me.
When you are so overwhelmed with anger and it does feel consuming to you and you get a text or whatever it is that's happening, what do you do right then before you do the other thing?
Like, get out of the room.
Speaking, run.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get away from it. Okay. I mean, if you really don't want to just act bad and make a fool out of yourself,
yep.
you have to get out of the house, go for a walk, and then
put the phone down where you can't get to it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
don't, good. You know, if you're gonna if everything that goes on Facebook is gonna make you mad, then just don't be on it.
Yeah,
you know, that's so I mean, good. It's, we read too much stuff and believe everything we read, and we get upset about it. And
do you guys ever have a hard time with age milestones? Because I remember, for me, it's the fives. It wasn't turning, you know, 30 or 40 or 50. It was the fives, turning 55, because then I'm already on the downhill slope toward the next big change.
Now, that's one I've never heard.
So I don't know why. It's just the way I've kind of seen it. But I do know people at all different ages. You're turning 40, and you just said you're looking forward to it. So yeah. That's great. And I'm just wondering.
I didn't even know how old I was, so.
No, I don't.
That's a way to make it work.
Yep.
Nothing bothered me until the day I had to go sign up for Social Security.
Oh.
And I could not believe I Miss can do everything all the time. I am in the Social Security office signing up for Medicare. I was just like, that took me a while.
Yeah,
I'll bet.
But you talk a lot in this book, which is so helpful, about the fact that we're all aging, but we don't have to get old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all in your mind.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to add a year to your age every year.
Right.
I don't care what you do. I mean, there's none of us that can stop that. Mm-hmm. We're all going to die. I mean, that's two things you can't avoid. They say taxes.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, we're all going to die. Thank you.
Good news, you're going to die. Aren't you glad you had me on today?
Yeah, I'm just all in here. Like,
well, you are, but you can. See, I am 77 and a half, but I don't think I am.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really don't think I am. When I realize I am, I have to go, no. You know? And that can happen by taking better care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even by the way you dress. And when you're 70, you don't have to try to dress like you're 25, but you don't have to dress like you're 90 either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know? Right. And you can do things like fix your hair and...
You know, I love that.
Put a little color on your face. I mean, even on days that I'm going to be home all day, I don't put a lot of makeup on, but I'll still get a few eyebrows on because you look kind of freaky without those.
And, a few eyebrows.
Yeah. Well, I've had mine, you know, permanently done, but I got a few spots that get kind of, so I fill in those spots and I look a little better with a little color on my cheeks, so I'll put just a little bit of color on my cheeks and put on a little lipstick, and I still fix my hair every day. I'm not going to get out of bed and go around because it makes you feel bad about yourself.
So
that's
true.
The thing that people don't realize. It's like you feel better about yourself if you take better care of yourself.
That's true. I've seen this woman in her jammies, and she looks better in her pajamas.
I've seen that it's
just
true. The snazziest PJs
ever. She's
always
really good at that.
Leopard and all that good stuff. Yeah. But that's one thing that I love about even this forum, that we're allowed to do, just how different we all are, and we're all are. And, you know, you say it all the time, we're in different stages of life, but that's what gravitated me towards Ginger even. Like, I didn't know how old she was. I just knew she always wore cool shoes.
Right.
Like, you know, and then being around you and seeing you, and y'all can't see it, but Mama Joyce has a little cute flower on her toe.
Oh.
So, I'm saying, like, it's little things like
look
that.
Look at those. I got stones on my shoes.
She is the fanciest.
If you get down there and look at that toe, I've got rhinestones on my toes.
She has a little diamond in between the flower on her toe. But those are little things that...
They're not diamonds. Don't say that.
Okay.
I'll get letters.
Faux diamonds. Little studs, okay, that the little lady put on her toe. But, but at the end of that, what I'm saying is I surround myself with people of all different ages. I don't, like, even with my daughter being 17, I don't, like, look down at her for being 17. I'm like, well, tell me what you, like, I learn from everybody. And I think that's something that didn't happen to, like, my mom's age group. They only kind of stayed with their own age groups. And so the fact that we're showing people, like, diversify your friend groups, not just with ethnicity, but also age, you know? Yeah. Like, because it helps to see
Dave
you at 77.
Dave and I don't let each other say I'm too old to do that.
No.
Oh, that's good.
If I say I'm too old for that, Dave will say, no, don't say that. You know, and we do have to not think. If you don't want to do something, then you don't want to do it. But you don't have to say, I'm too old to do it, because mm-hmm. that's just really...
You don't have to creak every time you sit down and make the noise like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, my knees kind of start to do
I'm
that.
I'm falling apart.
Everything. I mean, when it comes out of your mouth, you know, that's the one. That's like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah. Now, you know, my body's changing. I mean, there's things that, you know, I know that are there now that I used to not...
Yeah.
No, was there. And I've had to lower the weights that I use in the gym because of different things. And I've had two hips replaced. And, you know, I've getting some kind of shots now in my knees and my back. And so, but I'm going to do everything that I can to keep going as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And I don't intend to start thinking I'm old. You know, your age really doesn't matter. It's your attitude that really matters.
Now, this is important to God as well. Our attitude and finishing strong is really important on a spiritual basis as well. This isn't all just about the outside. Yeah. This is about the inside. And there are so many scriptures that you have in the book that are so good, talking about staying spiritually young and active too. Can I ask you about some scriptures? And
sure.
We can talk about those a little bit. So this one I love, because sometimes we have a little bit of fear of the future, right? Mm-hmm. A fear of aging. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even to the end." And so I just think about that as you're getting further and further along in life and along in your ministry, sometimes you feel like, am I finished? Mm-hmm. You know, is this the end of the good that God has for me? And you certainly haven't exhibited that in your life.
No, I don't feel that way. And even this week, I've been feeling led by the Holy Spirit to pray that I can always have a creative idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can always start something new.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not finished because I'm a certain age. I'm just not going to think like that. I mean, there are things that I can't physically do that wouldn't be wise for me to do. You know, I don't have any desire to go jump out of an airplane or, you know, bungee jump.
I do.
I know you do. But you'll get over that eventually.
Do it soon.
I'm going to jump out.
Do it soon.
Yeah, that is a really good point.
But if you listen to people, sometimes they just talk themselves into being old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I'm too old. Well, how do you know? Have you tried?
Right. Yeah. You know? Other scriptures from anybody that have been important to you with
this topic? Well, I love the one where Paul says, "None of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear, if only I might finish my course with joy."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said the only thing that really mattered to him was that he would finish his course with joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's John 17:4. Jesus said, "Father, glorify me now, for I have completed the work that you have given me to do." And one day, many years ago, I read that and I just started to weep. And I thought, you know, God, that's something that's been really important to me.
Yeah.
I want to finish what God has given me to do. And that's still very important to me. I want to, you know, I mean, I'm at the point in my life where I've been there, done that, you know, have that, don't need another one. And I understand what Paul meant when he said, as for me, it'd be better for me if I just went to heaven. I mean, the way our world is today, who in their right mind, if you knew you're going to heaven, wouldn't want to be in a better place.
Yeah.
But he said, for your sake, it's better that I stay. And so, from my part, I'd be happy to go, but I know God's not finished with me yet, and I don't want to leave my kids, and I'm going to be humorous. I'm not going to be a complaining old lady that just grumps around all the time and expects everybody to feel sorry for me. My kids tell me, Mom, you are so funny. And I hope that I'm always funny. I mean, I send some of the craziest texts. I mean, I don't know when I'm going to learn to read what I'm supposed
before
to,
you hit
to
send.
Read them
yeah, I
before.
Do the same thing.
I send them. It's just, and they'll just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Well, what sticks out to me was as I was thinking about just aging and why initially, I'm going to be honest, when I was 35, I was not excited about, so I guess that five thing, I wasn't excited about 40, like at first, because I was just like, what have I done with my life? You know, like, you know, it's just, you know, you just think about that. Jesus died at 33. 33 was hard for me, for real. Yeah. Like, so I'm like, Jesus completed everything at 33, you know, like, I was like, I'm living the Jesus year. But, the scripture that sticks to me is, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love. I think of power and then love and of a sound mind, because I understood at the root of that was worry. Like, right. I was worried that I wasn't going to live up to other people. I wasn't going to live up to the idea that I had in my mind of what I would accomplish at this time. Like, dismissing that and moving forward, pressing towards the mark. So that's what sticks out to me.
Something that I think really just wears people out is being so concerned about what everybody thinks.
Yeah, that's right.
I underlined that a lot in the book.
It's like, well, you know, what are they going to think? What are they going to think? Yeah. And we're not all alike. We can't all do the same things. You know, I really miss not being able to go on mission trips. I did 67 out of the country mission trips. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I love the big crusades. I love India. I love Africa. I love to go to those places. I've done some awesome crusades out of the country, but it's just too hard on me now.
Yeah.
The jet lag is just too hard on me. So what I have to do is I have to give myself now to the things that I have to do, which is only I can do my teaching.
Yeah.
Only I can write my books. Only I can do my TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's other things that I don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may miss them. And that's the thing you got to realize is even when you have to start giving things up, you may not like it, but you have to do what you know is wise and what's going to keep you around for the long run.
Yeah. That's really true. And understanding now that there are things at whatever age we are that we have to start making the choices and doing things that matter now for the future. And when I say the future, I'm talking about the next hour sometimes, as well as, you know, 30, 20 years, whatever it may be down the road. We've got a Bible study that will be really helpful that goes right along with Joyce's new book, and I think you're going to love it. We have it for you available for free online. It's called How to Stay Young at Every Age. Who doesn't want that, you know? So go to joycemeyer.org/talkitout, and you can do that. It's actually a 10-day online study that we're all going to be doing. Mm-hmm. So these next 10 days, we're going to be doing the study, and maybe we'll post some updates on things along the way. So please do it with us. Go there right now, sign up for this online study and do it with us. And then we always encourage you when you're there, you can sign up for our friends list, because we love to give you some behind the scenes things, tell you when new episodes are coming out, tell you about things like Joyce's new book coming out. And then also you can catch up on old episodes. Mm-hmm. So we just appreciate you being here with us. Take your life back. It's all those decisions that we make one little bit at a time. It's not like something big that you do that changes everything. It's the little decisions along the way. So Joyce, thank you so much.
I had fun today. I'm glad I got to come.
It's been so fun.
You really are funny.
Oh, thank you.
You are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're all going to die.
If you just also tell me I'm cute, then I'll be
you
perfect.
You are so cute.
Oh, you're so cute.
You're funny and cute.
And you're all cute too. So thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.
Okay.